Adam Pegilly, a very good morning.
Morning, Mido. Morning, boys.
We'll get to the South Sydney situation. Let's start with some racing. And there's a new jockey for the Tab Everest winner. Think about it, heading towards, well, I guess it'll go and defend its Kingsford Smith Cup amongst other races over the course of the carnival in Brisbane.
Yeah, Will Mido. Joe Pride's made the call to bring in Blake Shin, who's going to take over from Sam Clipperton. For the Brisbane Carnival, you're right. He'll head towards that Kingsford Smith Cup and try to defend his crown up there in that big Group 1 race. And I think it's probably fair to say that things haven't quite gone to plan for Joe, and the connections there are proven thoroughbreds. We think about it, this preparation. We know how good he was in the spring last year, winning the Everest. And then coming back, stretching out in trip, he hasn't had the sort of same, I suppose, zest, I suppose, or finishing surges at the end of his races. So they decided to make the call. I feel desperately sorry for Sam. He hasn't done much wrong on the horse. He obviously won a $20 million race last year, but things just aren't working out at the moment. The connections want a bit of a change, and Blake Shin will be the man for the Winter Carnival up there in Queensland.
Yeah, you always feel sorry for the jockey, but that's what happens in this industry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Adam, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Won't be the first, won't be the last. It's just something that happens.
I've seen much worse jockey changes, to be fair. Like when I've felt other jockeys have been stiffer, but this is what happens. If owners and want to put their money in and trainers are going to prepare the horse, they've got the right to make the call, and they've decided to go with Blake Shin, who will fly up there. And I'm sure Sam will bounce back. Obviously, he'll be initially quite disappointed in losing the ride on a horse that he's pretty much done all the groundwork on and ridden him all throughout his career. But swings and roundabouts, Loz, you know what it's like. One door closes, another one opens.
Adam, what's going on with the new Gold Coast track, mate? It's lost all its meetings.
Yeah, Josh, this is a really big story developing up there in Queensland, and one that sort of emerged sort of late last week, that this new track up there on the Gold Coast, which only opened, obviously, earlier this year, I believe, or late last year, doing some work on it, is just not racing up to standard as it stands at the moment. A lot of kickback. Jockeys are reporting that the surface is very shifty, and Racing Queensland have got on the front foot straight away and said, you know what, we can't afford to risk having some of our feature race meetings leading up to the Winter Carnival being raced on a subsurface track. So they're going to be going up to the Sunshine Coast, the Hollandale Stakes meeting, and I'm not quite sure what the immediate future is going to be for that Gold Coast track. I don't know about you guys, but it seems like every time we build a new track in Australia these days, a lot of them sort of struggle to get going. And the initial sort of six-month period, there's a lot of problems. So I don't know whether we need to do a bit of a deeper dive into how we're sort of building these tracks and whatever else. There'll be smarter minds than me who can talk to that. But Not a great look, is it? When we've got a new track that's taken 12 months to build or 18 months to build, and then all of a sudden it's just not racing well and they need to transfer meetings away. So they've got a big problem up there on the Gold Coast at the moment.
All right. What have you made of it? South Sydney, Jason Demetrio, and how it's all played out there yesterday with, it took two board meetings and then Jason Demetrio was sacked.
Yeah, Mido, huge news yesterday at South Sydney. First of all, I will say that I feel very sorry for Jason Demetrio. He's a good man. I still believe he's a good coach. He's got a family. He's got a wife and daughters that have obviously been going through a particularly difficult time in the last sort of month to 6 weeks. And it was almost seemed inevitable yesterday. That was the decision the South Sydney board was going to reach, wasn't it? But I suppose my one question mark is why the change now that couldn't have been made 2 weeks ago during the bye rounds? Look, I know they had one more game since then and they got towed up by Melbourne on Anzac night, but I think most neutral observers would have thought they were going to go down to Melbourne and struggle to beat the Storm there, and that happened to be the case. And it's sort of dragged out for another 2 or 3 weeks, hasn't it, really? So, desperately sorry for Jason. And I think I heard you guys speaking a little bit earlier this morning, like all roads lead to Wayne Bennett. That's going to be their number one priority and number one choice to take over next year. It's just a matter of whether Wayne wants to come back to Sydney and work with South Sydney again. But I think by making the move now, it probably gives him a chance to give him some time to try and get on the front foot with Wayne and try and bring him back to South Sydney. And I don't know what you think, Loz and Josh, but whether Wayne want to come back to Sydney and take over South again, a club he's been at before. But there's not too many jobs around the NRL, is there? So if he wants to keep coaching, he might not have much of a choice.
Well, that's exactly right, Adam. If he wants to keep coaching, he might have to come back to Sydney. I pondered this question off air, but I'll now ponder it on air. And actually, I won't ponder it. I'll ask you, because I was sitting there reading about, you know, Parramatta and how they're struggling and Brad Arthur's under pressure. Do you think this makes Parramatta think a little bit harder about what they're doing with Brad moving forward?
Yeah, I agree, Loz. I think you're probably right in expressing that sentiment. Like, was Parramatta have obviously struggled in the first sort of 8 or 9 weeks of this season. Brad's going to be under some sort of pressure. There's no doubt about that. But South has sort of forced the issue a little bit now, haven't they, really, by getting on the front foot and saying, well, we're going in a different direction and we're going to probably target Wayne Bennett as the choice to take over next year. So if Parramatta is going to make a move and they want Wayne, they're going to have to do it pretty quickly. I'm not quite sure whether they're at that point or they even want to do that, to be honest. But it's certainly going to expedite the whole process, isn't it, really? Because as we've seen in the past with coaching changes, a lot of it's about timing, isn't it, really? You've got to get your timing right for, yep, for guys who are coming onto the market or who are available. And if you miss out on your timing, then you miss out on your guy in a lot of the cases. And that might be the case here where Parramatta have got a choice to make.
I will say, though, boys, Parramatta, they're just a different side without Mitch.
Oh,
their whole attack, yeah, is based around Mitch. I don't think there's a team in the NRL who base their attack around one player more.
It's hard when you miss your dominant seven, isn't it? When you're a dominant seven.
Like, we talk about the young halves coming in. He dominates that team.
Oh, well, Canberra, you could argue, is the same, couldn't you, now without Fogarty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just with Mitch, with his, yeah, well, Fogarty as well, but his long kicking games, yeah, sometimes it gets him out of trouble, even if they're not playing well.
Yeah.
But they win the field position battle all the time, no matter what. And then you always, you know, the one thing Parra aren't doing at the moment is he's looking down their short sides. That's the one thing Mitch does the best. He whips down those short sides. So teams, all they're doing now is they're
defending the long side.
Easy. Mm. So, yeah, look, for Brad Arthur, he'll just be hoping Mitch can come back and stabilise that team again.
So Blake Solly addresses the media in just about an hour and a quarter, doesn't he, Adam? So
he does, Mido. I'm on my way there, so okay. I'm not too far away. So it'll be an interesting morning at South Sydney headquarters this morning, get some more clarity about, you know, why they thought the decision was right now, how they came to it, and the future. It doesn't involve Uncle Wayne.
With Uncle Wayne, if Uncle Wayne ends up going to South, how does it all roll with Sam Burgess then?
Yeah, good question, Loz. I don't think Warrington want to let him go. He's got a 2-year contract, I believe, to stay over there at the Wolves in the UK Super League. And I think they want to try and extend it as well. So, listen, you can see it makes sense for Sam to come back potentially if Wayne does get the job next year. But do you think in some respects, Loz, he might be better still learning his craft on his own and coaching, yep, a team by himself rather, yep, than coming back and being with Wayne again?
Most definitely. Because I think the issue will be, If he had a problem with the playing group, the playing group's still there.
Mm.
So how's that interaction going to work? And isn't it funny? We were talking about Jason Demetriou wanting to be tougher and harder on these players, and they don't need someone that's going to come back and give them a bit of a cuddle and look after them. And here we have Wayne being the front runner, and he's, like, the reason why they want him back is because he can keep the group happy.
Mm. Yeah.
So where does,
yeah,
it leave them then when Wayne leaves? Moves on.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Are they going to be in the same situation as they are now? It's just a short-term fix. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, wherever South Sydney are at the moment, it's not befitting of the standard of the club they are, the size of the club they are. So they need to make some drastic changes, whether that's Wayne Bennett to get his playing group back on the straight and narrow. A lot of people have their say on that, but you know, I can imagine at this stage all roads are probably leading to Wayne. It's going to be his call to decide whether he wants to come back.
Just something else to consider with Sam Burgess. He's got kids here as well. And, you know, FaceTime's FaceTime, but
oh yeah,
that could be a factor. I know he's got a 2-year deal at Warrington, yeah, but I honestly don't think he'll be over there beyond 2 years at Warrington.
No, but the big one will be the relationship. You've got to have a good relationship with players, regardless of whether you're a first grade coach, reserve grade coach, or assistant, and that doesn't mean that you can have a great working relationship and you've got to respect each other. That means that, you know, you've got to be able to have those hard conversations. And if people don't want to have those hard conversations, how's that going to work?
Well, also, where does Sam's like pride come into this? They got rid of him. I reckon Sam is a guy like that. He'd be like, it'd be hard for him to come back. Because he'd be thinking that South, the club that I gave everything for, I won him a grand final, I gave him everything, and now they want me back. Oh, it'd be hard for him. There'd be something in him that's going, oh, I don't know.
Should be an interesting morning, Adam. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks, boys. We'll chat soon.